Now, it wasn't until the 1970s that cultural views began to change enough in the United States that NASA finally selected its first group of female astronauts in 1978 as part of the eighth astronaut group. And these six ladies were chosen as mission specialists for the space shuttle program. And you can see that they were a group as talented as any group of men selected for the astronaut program. Of course, they were not selected as pilots at this point. Many of them, although did in fact have piloting skills, but they were selected as mission specialists for their scientific and technical competence. And it's interesting that once NASA finally selected its first female astronauts, we start to see the appearance of much stronger female characters, particularly in television. Some of you may have seen the old Buck Rogers serials from the 30s, Buck's love interest, Wilma Deering, who in the Buck Rogers series of 1980 is suddenly turned into a very kick-ass military officer, Colonel Wilma Deering. Star Trek finally gets its first female starship captain in the 1990s with Captain Janeway. And of course, in the 2000s, we see Starbuck from 1978's Battlestar Galactica transformed into another kick-ass female character, the new Starbuck. So just the selection of those female NASA astronauts started to bring about some changes across the whole area of science fiction and popular culture in depicting female astronauts. So these first mission specialists started to fly in the 1980s, and the interesting thing here again is that the Soviets hadn't given up on the idea of pipping the Americans to space first. And so when it was announced that Sally Ride would become the first American woman in space and fly on the shuttle in 1983, they quickly whipped Savitskaya up to the Salyut space station in 1982. And Savitskaya was the first female astronaut, female cosmonaut to fly since Tereshkova. It was rather unfortunate that when the female cosmonaut team was first fly either a Voskhod or a Soyuz mission, that would be an all-female mission and would include a spacewalk. Sergei Korolev unfortunately died in 1966. And when he passed away, the political support for the female cosmonaut team just died away. And so those women were disbanded as a cosmonaut group. But Svetlana Savitskaya was recruited, as I say, to again become the first or the second Soviet female cosmonaut who would fly ahead of the first American astronaut and be the first to take up residence on a space station. So she was on the Salyut 7 space station. And in 1984, when Kathy Sullivan was about to become the first woman to make a spacewalk, the Soviets decided that they would pip the Americans again, and they sent Savitskaya up to conduct the first female spacewalk a couple of months ahead of ahead of Kathy Sullivan. Kathy Sullivan's actually a very interesting woman because not only was she an astronaut, she later became the administrator of the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. And in 2020, she became the first woman to travel to the bottom of the Challenger Deep, which of course is the deepest part of the ocean. So she has literally been from the depths to the stars. Very, very interesting person herself. She's written a really good autobiography, actually. But again, when it was announced that Shannon Lucid would become the first female American astronaut to travel to the Mir space station, the Russians again thought, well, we better get in ahead of this. We can't have an American female on Mir before we've had a Russian female on Mir. And so Yelena Kondakova was recruited, that's her here, as the first female Russian to work on the Mir space station. And in fact, she was there for 169 days. So for a while, she held the record for the longest female space flight until Shannon Lucid's flight, which was 179 days. And I actually think that the Americans kept her there the extra 10 days to make sure that they took that record away from the Russians. And Shannon's record actually stood until another woman, who I'm going to talk about in a little while, made her first flight in 2007. Seen women progressing in their careers, doing the same kinds of things, as I've said before, as the male astronauts do. So Kathy Thornton became the first military woman to fly on a military shuttle. Then in 1995, Eileen Collins became, she was actually the first female pilot in 1995, and then became the first female shuttle commander in 1999. And she was also selected to command the return flight mission STS-114 after the for the return to flight after the loss of the Columbia. So NASA obviously had a great deal of confidence in her as a mission commander. There were two other female pilots in the space shuttle program, and the one you would probably know best, of course, would be Pam Melroy, who herself later went on to command the space shuttle, made several flights to the International Space Station. Since then, she's been here in Australia for a while as an advisor to the Australian Space Agency, and now, of course, is the Deputy Administrator of NASA. Another thing that NASA felt was very important, show that various minority groups in the United States could aspire to careers in STEM subjects generally, and particularly in the space program. So it was quite important that they had astronauts like Mae Jemison, the first Black female astronaut, Ellen Ochoa, the first Hispanic woman to fly, Kalpana Chawla, the first Indian-American astronaut, and even Barbara Morgan, who was the original backup for Christa McAuliffe, intended to be the first teacher in space. And Barbara finally became the first educator astronaut in 2007, so 21 years after the Challenger disaster. Actually, one thing I didn't mention, with Sally Ride, we know now that she was the first LGBTQI person in space, but during her period as an astronaut, she kept her sexuality as a private matter, and it was not until after she left NASA that she actually came out openly as lesbian. So it was unfortunate that, despite the fact that NASA had opened up enough to allow or to recruit women, and women from the various minority groups, they were not open, and the society at the time was not open to accepting that you could also have diverse sexuality as well as a diverse ethnic origin. One of the other interesting things is that for several countries, apart from NASA and the Soviet Union, or America and the Soviet Union, the first space travellers have been women. For Canada, for example, Roberta Bondar, space shuttle, Helen Sharman, the first Briton to fly in space in 1990. Claudie André Désir Hanier was not the first French cosmonaut, but she was one of the early Kness cosmonauts to fly both with the Soviet Union or Russia, and later with the United States. This is Elena Kondakova again, who we've seen earlier. She flew on the shuttle as well as on the Mir space station. Soyeon Yi was the very first South Korean to travel in space. Chiaki Mukai, although not the first Japanese to fly, was one of the early members of the Japanese national team from JAXA. So it's not only American and Russian women who've flown, but women from various other nationalities. And of course, we've also seen people like Anusha Ansari, who was one of the early female space tourists. China has also recruited women into its astronaut corps. Colonel Liu Yang was the first female Chinese astronaut, sometimes referred to as Taikonauts, otherwise referred to as Yuan Yuan. And she flew in 2012 on the Shenzhou 9 mission. She was actually followed on Shenzhou 10 by Wang Yaoping, who was also the first woman to live on the Tiangong 1 space station back in 2013. She also acted the role somewhat like Barbara Morgan of being a teacher in space and gave the first lessons from space to Chinese children. And of course, more recently, just this last month, she's become the first Chinese woman to make a spaceport on the Tianhe module, which is currently in orbit. And more recently, of course, women have played roles, sort of every role on the International Space Station. Yelena Serova, only the fourth Russian cosmonaut, female cosmonaut. She visited the space station across 2014-2015, spending 167 days. Samantha Cristoforetti, one of the long-term stay ESA cosmonauts. We've also seen in 2013, NASA actually selected Group 21. This was the first time that the number of female and male astronauts in the class had been equal. So there were, so you see, four men and four women. And two of those women, Christina Koch and Jessica Meyer, went on to conduct the first all-woman spacewalk in 2019. Christina Koch, in fact, holds the record for the longest single spaceflight by a woman. She was on the ISS for nearly 11 months between 2019 and 2020. And I wanted to mention in particular this lady, Peggy Whitson, who began as she was part of the biomedical team at Johnson Space Center, ultimately was selected for an astronaut. She's actually now spent the most cumulative time in space for any US astronaut of 665 days. She was the seventh woman to walk in space, and she's made now 10 spacewalks. So she has the most EVAs and the most time spent on EVA, over 60 hours, of all female space travelers. She was the first female commander of the ISS, and she's actually been commanded twice. She was also the first female chief of the astronaut office between 2009 and 2012. And in addition to that, she was the commander of the NEMO 5 mission. This is an aquatic habitat that NASA uses for experiments in crew dynamics, long duration spaceflight, living together, this kind of thing. And so she's, again, another astronaut aquanaut who has experience underwater as well as in space. Pretty amazing woman. Now, we know that in the not too distant future, it's not going to be 2024, but say maybe around 2026, NASA will finally go back to the moon. And last year they announced the Artemis team, which included a number of women. And from somewhere among this group, the first woman on the moon will be selected. We know that NASA has said specifically that the return to the moon in the Artemis program will include the first woman and the first person of color. So somebody in these groups will represent the first woman and that first person of color. So that is going to be a very exciting mission when it finally occurs. And perhaps one of these days we'll actually see women and men working together on a mission to Mars as well.